peace of our mind. But that's only our flesh. And usually it makes us feel good for a while, but in the end, you know, it just makes things worse. Sometimes if we could only just keep our silence, you know, you can't have an argument with one person. It's a crazy person that has an argument with one person. But if you would just sometimes just be silent and let God fight your battle. You know, but our flesh sometimes wants to answer back so much and to give as good as we get. But the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not fleshly. It's not what we can do. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? Well, there are many definitions for a stronghold. Could be an area in our lives. Could be something that we're fighting, something we're dealing with. But the Bible says that God's weapons are mighty, even to the pulling down of strongholds. Is there something this week that you're facing? Don't tell me. Just raise your hand if there's some things you are facing, okay? I want to tell you about some weapons that you can use this week to deal with what you're facing. Amen. There are weapons that you have available to deal with what you're facing. I'm facing some things. Sometimes I wonder how I'm going to get through. But you know what? The Bible says underneath are the everlasting arms. God somehow always pulls me through. Amen. As our fire inspector came in and I just started to tell her about the miracle of this church, of how we are still here. How we are still here and getting stronger, not weaker, because God is our deliverer. God is our way maker. Amen. And as I was telling her, she was listening, and I gave her some scriptures and a card. And I'm praying that even through our fire inspection, you can have a witness. Amen. So let us just go back on the power of the word. Our weapon is the word of God. That's our weapon, the word of God. The scripture says in John 3:34, for he whom God hath sent, the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. What is that speaking about? The Bible says when we get the Holy Spirit, we don't have some percentage. What it's saying is that we get the full measure that can be contained in this human body. There is not a limit to what when you have the Spirit. Do you understand what that means? That means there is not a limit to your effectiveness if you understood that. The Bible says, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. When you don't know what's available to you, you could have $1 million in the bank, you could have a great inheritance, and it does you no good unless you know about it. In fact, the government has millions of dollars, the state, that no one has claimed. You know why? People don't know about it. There have been uncles and aunts and distant cousins that have died, and nobody has come to claim it, so the state takes it. And there are people who could use it that are living in poverty, but because they do not know about it. Well, today, I want you to know you have an inheritance, not in the state of Wisconsin, not in the federal government, but in heaven itself. Hallelujah. And I want to let you know about it. You can go and make a withdrawal. It's great when you can go to the bank and know that you can make a withdrawal. You know, that ATM didn't say, spit the card back out and say, no cash dispensed. But today we can have some spiritual currency dispensed in our lives. The scripture in John 6:63, and really this week, this is going to be the focus because I want you to understand this. It said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. I know you've heard this scripture so many times, but I want to open your mind to a different understanding of this scripture. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The very words that Jesus spoke were so powerful that they were spirit and they are life. Now, if you have the Spirit of God in you, when you speak through the Spirit, that scripture applies to you. The words that you speak through the Spirit, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Sister Melissa has been teaching a class to the parents and to the children called Speak Life. And I've been hammering this point over and over again that the words that we speak should, the Bible said, engender grace to the hearers. But when we speak in our flesh, that's why we don't have so much success. Because instead of speaking through the Spirit, we use our own words to try and fight our battles. We try and speak through our own understanding. But if we would speak through the Spirit, I believe this scripture applies. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So I want you to understand a certain concept that the words and the Spirit are related. And I've said this before in some of the Tuesday night Bible studies, that in the heavenly realm, it manifests as spirit. In the earthly realm, that spirit manifests as word. Amen. Now, we look in the Bible at the word that's translated spirit, and it's in the Hebrew, ruach. And in Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed." To speak, you have to breathe. That word breathe, actually in the Hebrew, is ruach. So what it's saying is that God breathed or inspired into man his spirit. And that's what gave man life. Isn't that what it says in the previous scripture? The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So what you see in Genesis when God took the soul of man, put it in a body, then he breathed. And that word breathe is ruach. It means he put his spirit and man became a living soul. We see the same thing happening in John 20:22, but this is the revelation. This time we know what the breathing words were. In John 20:22, it says, "And when he had said this," this is Jesus now, "he breathed on them," and we now know what he said. "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Do you understand that that's exactly what happened in Genesis, but it wasn't explained? It just said God breathed and man became a living soul. In John chapter 20:22, the revelation of what was said when God breathed in Genesis is now given. And man became a living soul because he had the covering spirit. That's what made Adam a son of God. That's what makes us a son of God. That's what armors us up. Because without his spirit, the Bible says we are what? None of his. So if you're going to go into a battle against Satan, you need the Spirit of God. You need to have that breath in you. You know, those of you who used to run track or field, you know, you would, as they say, catch your second breath. That means you thought you couldn't do it, and then suddenly, after a while, you got back your wind and you could start to run again. We need that second breath. We need that Jesus breathes upon us. Amen. Because that's our armor before we go into battle. So that word that's translated spirit in the Old Testament is ruach. So ruach means wind, breath, spirit, mind, all those words. We see that this applies in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said what? The you have to be born of the water and of the spirit. Then he said the wind blows where it wants to and you can't see it, but you can hear the sound of it. So it is with some people, special people. So it is with everyone. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I want you to see this connection, and some of this is review, that the word spirit in the heavenly manifests in the earthly as the Word of God. And we see this very directly in the story when Jacob was running away from his brother and he had a vision. He laid down in a field with a stone for a pillow. In Genesis 28:12, the Bible says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." So in the heavenly, it manifests as spirit. On the earth, it manifests as the wind, the word, the breath of God. So when you hear a word from God, what you are receiving is the spirit. And that's why on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, first of all, there came a sound. As of what? A mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were seated. As I've said so many times, if you're going to take control of a situation, you need the Holy Spirit first to fill the house. Clear out all the opposition. Because it's very hard when you're fighting spirits. But if the Holy Spirit has filled the house, there ain't anything else in there. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they had such a revival. Because the area was cleared out of opposing spirits. So the Spirit in heaven manifests on earth as the Word of God. And that's what the scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jumping down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. On the day of transfiguration, when He went up on the mountain, and the Bible said He was transfigured, and His raiment became as white as snow, they couldn't even look at Him. They beheld His glory. They understood now what a Son of God was really like. That's what He came to manifest. He said, I have come and I have manifested Thy name. And as I've taught many times, He wasn't talking J-E-S-U-S. He was talking Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was showing His disciples, this is what you are to become. This is what you are called to be. Because the Bible says that when He shall appear, guess what? We shall be like Him. What an awesome thing. That Bible says we are going to be just like Jesus. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Why? Because we're going to see Him as He is. Last week I taught about the fact how Moses, when he went up on the mountain, asked if he could see God. And the only way he could see God, because God hid him in the cleft of the rock. And the revelation in the New Testament is that the Bible says that that rock that followed them was Christ. The only way you see God is in Christ Jesus. When you're hidden in that rock, when you're in trouble, there's that song, I go to the rock. I go to the rock. Sometimes you just have to go to the rock. Sometimes you just have to just go to the rock. Sometimes you have to find the carpet and just prostrate yourself before God and go to the rock. Because that is where we get our strength. Do you understand? Even though He was God in the flesh, how many times does it speak about Jesus going off alone into the mountains to do what? To pray. To pray. How many times do we go off alone, go into the basement, go in your closet and pray? We need to get armored up if we're going to fight the very powers that are against us, the situations that we're facing. We have weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare is not something you can see. It's not something you can hold on physically. But nevertheless, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I have some things I got to face, some walls, some things that I know are coming up. But you know what? The Bible says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. In one of the lessons, I talked about how Hezekiah, he took the message from the enemy and he went straight to the house of the Lord and he laid it before God. He didn't try and go out and say, well, we're going to fight you. How dare you come here and call us names? No, he knew where his strength lay. He gave it to God and God said, look, don't worry about this. I got this. I got this. Don't worry about this. I got this. You know why? Because he's not fighting you. He's fighting me. And nobody wins fighting God. Nobody wins fighting God. So the Bible says the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. You know that old spiritual that they sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. I'm sorry, he did not. He did not fight the battle of Jericho. You know who fought the battle of Jericho? It was the commander of the Lord's host. That man he met, that angel, that being he met on top of the mountain with the sword drawn. That's who fought the battle of Jericho. You know, all Joshua and the children of Israel did was they walked around Jericho. All they did was be in obedience of subjection. And it was God that fought. All they did was shout and give praise and blow trumpets. And the wall fell down. You see, if they had actually tried to fight the battle of Jericho, they could not. The history tells us that wall was wide enough for five chariots to race around on the top. It was more than 20 feet wide. It was like a road, and it was 60 feet high. That's how big and bad that wall was. They could have spent years outside of Jericho and got nowhere. But when God fights your battle, you cannot lose. When God is going before you, you cannot lose. All you have to do is like Joshua. The angel said, take off your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground. When you meet the commander of the Lord's host, you don't have to do anything but worship. Bible says that Joshua took off his shoes because that was a sign of covenant. He took off his shoes and he worshiped. We don't hear any more about the story except the battle plans, which was just to march around. Be silent. Don't say anything for the first 7 days. Don't you say a word back to those people. Can you imagine they were throwing stuff from the wall on them and said, you stupid Israelites, you think walking around this is going to do anything? All you're doing is getting worn out. But on the seventh day, something different happened. When you're obedient to God, when you fight the battle and let him give you the commands, you can't lose. You can't lose. No matter what the devil says, you cannot lose. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, when God manifests on earth as the Word, and when you take his words, the Bible says, if my words abide in you, amen? If my words abide in you, then you shall ask. A lot of times, though, we use our words. We don't use God's words. As I've said, we have to have a scripture for every situation. Amen. We should have a scripture for every situation. Let's look at some of the best weapons. Some of the best weapons are God's promises. Do you know a scripture that's a promise? Anyone can quote a Bible verse that's a promise? Come on now. Everyone came with no weapons today? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Just that those words alone are enough. You know what that means? I'm his sheep. That means he's going to come look after me. That means he takes me and he feeds me. He leads me by still waters. Just those words alone is a weapon. The Lord is my shepherd. When Satan comes to you with the bills and with trials and tribulations and you don't know what to do, you just speak out into the atmosphere. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. That's all you need to do is to speak out the words into the atmosphere. Let's look at some of the weapons that we have been given this week. And I'm going to give you some. There are more than 7,000 promises. 7,000. You know, it's like we only use like one weapon. And Psalms 23 is great if you can't think of anything else. But I'm going to give you some more. All right, Sister Brown, if you got one, you got to go and speak it out. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to try and remember it. Okay. It's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against thee, thou shalt condemn. For this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God.
Amen. 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 That's a beautiful promise. Now, when would you use that weapon? All right. When someone is speaking against you. Right? That's when you use that weapon. You just speak it out into the atmosphere. All right. Come on down. Amen. Let's hear somebody who's got some weapons here.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
Amen. That's a great one. Amen. Now, when would you use that weapon? When would that scripture be appropriate? When you don't know what to do, when you're perplexed, when you've got issues and you don't know which way to choose, then you trust in the Lord. Don't try and work it out. Sister Janice, we're getting some good weapons here.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and also be of good courage. Do not be afraid of their faces. You know, sometimes the enemy, when you're at work, you could see the distraction of the enemy. So it's not be afraid of their faces. You know, just do what the Lord is saying. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Great and mighty is his name. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Think on these things. The heaven and earth, you know, shall pass away, but my words. Okay.
Amen. Now, here is the thing. All right, we got some more. Come on.
That I've just learned is seek the kingdom of God
and his righteousness
will be added unto you.
Amen. That's such an awesome one. That's an awesome one, you know, because that was the one my mother wrote in my wedding Bible. Seek ye the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Not second or third. That's how it works. Seek ye first. Amen. And when you do that, all these other things. Now, I want to just say one word. It's great we know these, but to actually use them, how do you use them? What do you have to do? You have to actually speak it. Doesn't matter if you look crazy. You've actually got to speak it out into the atmosphere. That's the Bible says, the words that I speak, they shall not return to me void. So now you know some scriptures. Don't just say it in your mind. It will not become effective until you speak it. Jesus said, speak to this mountain. Whosoever shall speak to this mountain, go into yonder sea, not doubting. So now you have to speak it out. Now you know some scriptures. Most of us have some scriptures, but we don't actually speak it out. We just say it in our mind. You have got to actually speak it out. It's no use carrying the sword. You got to actually draw it. The devil is not afraid of you, but he's afraid of the word of God. Let me give you some more. Last one. Go ahead.
Be of good courage, and you shall strengthen your heart. All you that hope in the Lord.
Okay, when would you use that one?
When you're down.
That's right. That's right. Be of good courage. Now, you should know all of these scriptures, and you need to speak it out. This is the key. You got to speak it out. Believe me, this is how it works. You got to speak it out. You got to make the sound. You got to declare it. Here's a few that you know that you probably haven't heard. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait, and when this is translated, it means expect. If you're waiting on something, it means what? You're expecting it. If you're looking for a parcel to be delivered, you're waiting on it. It means you're expecting it to come. That's why you're home. You're waiting for it to be delivered. They that wait. It doesn't mean just sitting around. It means looking, expecting it to happen. They that expect the Lord to deliver shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. Here's another one, Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, shall hold thy right hand. When you're feeling weak, when you're feeling down, you need to say this out. For the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, what did I say? Fear not, I will help thee. Amen. Isn't those awesome words? Aren't they awesome promises? These are some of our weapons. Remember, the word of God has so many weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of whatever stronghold you are facing. God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. God has done such unbelievable miracles for me, many of which I can't even tell you because they're so embarrassing. But I know God did it. He is awesome. He has never, ever failed me, ever. I have failed him, but he has never failed. Not one time, not ever. When I call upon him, even when I don't deserve it, he has shown up. He has delivered. He has been merciful. He has been gracious. Faith is not believing that God can. It's knowing that he will. I expect God to always work it out. Why? Because I'm his child. Are you his child? If he has breathed upon you, then you are his child. When a baby is first born, the first thing they're wanting to hear is what? The cry. And they start suction and they start cleaning out the throat because that baby's got to take that first breath. That baby's got to cry. That proves the baby is alive. When you are born into the kingdom of God, you're going to make a sound. Amen. Amen. To prove that you are alive, you are a new creature in God. In fact, that's going to be our next month's theme. Being a new creature. Amen. So let's look at some more promises. Malachi 3:10. Here's a promise. You going through financial crisis? Find out why. Have you been standing upon this promise? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I was raised certainly... My father was a great man of faith as far as faith. And he used to tell stories. He was raised extremely poor. And he got to the place where he had learned a trade of cabinet making. And when he was starting out his business, he had almost no funds. He had no customers. And the little he had was not enough. But he would always tell this story how he didn't even have enough to pay any tithes. But he made a promise to God. And so he had this beautiful chair. And he went to the pastor and he said, "Would you accept this chair?" And he gave the chair as tithes because he just so believed. And after that, God just started to bless his business and bless his business. Now, I'm not telling you this because I want your chairs. I do not want any chairs. I have enough chairs. I am saying this as one of the promises that you need to speak out. This is what I'm saying. You can stand upon his promise. Verse 11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." God can bless you when everyone else is starving. Did you know that? Isaac went to this place, and it was famine all around. And yet God blessed him that he reaped 100%. They couldn't understand. Everyone of the nation said, "How do you do that?" They took away the first well from him. Well, if we take away his well, he won't have water for his crops. There's no way he can be blessed. He gave it away. They took away the second well. Well, we got him now. He can't be. This is famine. There's been a drought. So if we take away his well, he can't be blessed. And he still kept getting blessed. So finally, he gave up. And of course, you know the story. He called the third well Rehoboth. Why? Because even though there's a famine, even though churches are shutting down, even though all kinds of things are going on, he said, "I shall be blessed and be fruitful in the land." That's what verse 11 of Malachi says. "For I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." This is another promise. This is the weapons of our warfare. Philippians 4:17, Paul speaking to the only church in the New Testament that didn't have any negative things said about it. And you look why they were blessed, because they were a giving church. Philippians 4:17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound." He was saying, "I don't need any chairs from you. I'm doing fine. But I want you to know," he says, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus." The Philippian church had sent a gift to Paul for his ministry. "The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell." He was saying, "Although you gave it to me, really, this is an incense to God. Your sacrifice is an incense to God." I'm telling you how you fight certain warfare. If you're in need, it's contradictory, but you have to give. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's how it works. The Philippian church in Revelation was the church that the Bible says, "I will keep you from the hour of tribulation." That's going to, you know why? Because they were a sacrificial church. It says, "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Giving is a weapon of our warfare. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you do it as unto the Lord. Now, you know I don't talk about money, and I don't. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the weapons of our warfare. Verse 19, do you believe this? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." It doesn't matter what we're going through. If we really believe this verse, "But my God shall supply all." He has always met my need. Brother Longoria is not here, so I can talk about him. But 5 or 6 years ago, I don't know what happened to him. He said he was going through some sicknesses and all his suits didn't fit him. And he gave me like 20-something suits. I had to give away. I haven't had to buy a suit for 5 years. Did you hear that? I haven't had to buy a suit for 5 or 6 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? My God shall supply all my need. You've heard my testimony. When we stopped I'll tell it for just very brief. We stopped paying on our house in Michigan because this church needed the funds. We only had a few members. And I said, God, well, if we lose the house, we lose the house. And you know the story. For 16 months, they kept on, 16 months, almost 2 years of not paying the mortgage. You know that's a miracle right at the beginning.
Amen.
16 months not paying the mortgage. They still did not foreclose, even though they kept threatening. They made us meet the lawyers. But my God said no.
Amen.
After a year, he had already told me, don't worry about this. Fear not.
Amen.
And after 16 months, I have the letter. So I got to find that and frame it. They sent me a letter saying, we decline. We're going to foreclose 30 days. Get ready to give up the house. And you know what I said to the letter? I spoke to the letter and I said, no.
Amen.
That's what I said. I said, this is not right. And I called them up and they said, oh, that's a mistake. You have been approved.
Amen.
And we're going to wipe out 16 months of arrears. $32,000. $32,000. And we're going to reduce your mortgage by $300 a month.
Amen.
And we're going to reduce your principal by $80,000. Now, don't tell me that my God shall not supply your need. See, you know what I did? I spoke to the letter. The letter said no. I said, no, you're wrong. I know this is not right because God has already told me. And I said, no, this is not right. And I called him up and said, hey, this letter isn't right. And then she said, it's not right. Sorry, it's a mistake. You see, God will not fail you when you use the weapon of our warfare.
Amen.
He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's another promise. And you said this one, Sister Anita. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? For thou art with me. That's all you have to say. Whatever you're facing, whatever trial you're facing, whatever valley of the shadow of death you're facing, whether it's sickness, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Brother, it doesn't matter what you're going through if you have the weapon of warfare. It is a war. That's why you do need the word of God. Thou preparest a table. This is about sustenance, even when you're in a war. In the presence of mine enemies, even though they're expecting you to fail, they don't understand. How are they doing that? How are they surviving? I'm not boasting, but I've said this before. And you, those of you who've been here before, the word that God gave me, anyone know what my word is? Come. I feel just like Peter. He told me you can get out the boat and you can be walking on water and people are going to be looking and saying, how are you doing that? If you have the word of God, you can walk on water. If Jesus told you, come, people will be looking and saying, how are they making it? They seem to be growing instead of failing. They seem to be being blessed instead of going down. How are they doing that? Because I have a weapon of warfare. I only have that one word, come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If you came here today heavy laden, burdened, got things on your brain, start to use the word of God. Because he cannot fail you. He never will fail you. Surely. See, this is why David was so successful. He knew to speak a word. Look at how many things he wrote. He verbalized the word of God. Surely. It wasn't no doubt about it. Surely. He didn't say maybe. Maybe goodness and mercy will follow. No, he said surely. You need to speak that out. Come on, let's say surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You need to do that at home. Every morning you get up, find a word to speak into the atmosphere. Declare some things in your life. Satan, you shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not. You have a temptation. You have something that you'll keep getting into. You need to declare, sin shall not have dominion over me. There was a story of a man who came to church and he had a smoking habit. And he still had the habit after you know, and he kept on saying to the pastor, what shall I do? The pastor said, every time you take out the cigarettes, speak to the cigarettes and say, I hate you. I hate you. But I like them. It doesn't matter. Speak to the cigarettes and tell them, I hate you. You stink. And so he would still be smoking three times a day, get three packs, but he was, I hate you. I hate you. But you know, after 6 weeks of speaking to the cigarettes, one day he picked it up and he actually said, I hate you. And he threw it away. And that was the end of it. Amen. You see, you need to speak the words that God has given us. Sister Janice.
Amen. As I was thinking about what Audrey had said, how you have to think back what God has done. And when you were talking about speaking, I require one time when I moved into a foreclosure home over here on Juneau, and I didn't know it was in foreclosure. And I had moved, and I moved in there, and it reminded me of the Rehoboth, all the high beams and stuff like that, and I was so excited. So the lady upstairs, she wasn't saved. She was like, are you paying your rent? And I was like, yeah. She said, you shouldn't be paying it because the house in foreclosure. Had I not knew who God was and didn't pay my rent, God had blessed me to live in that house for 3 months rent-free. Then they gave me eviction notice. They thought that I was the owner's wife. They kept knocking on the door, security and everything when Ja'Kari was there, like sending sheriffs to the house. And it was just a disaster. But had I not had faith in God and paid my rent, and God had blessed me to stay there 3 months free of rent. So when I went to the court, they were like, so why didn't you pay any rent? And I said, well, when I got the foreclosure letter, they said that the bank will be contacting me and who to pay the rent to. So guess what? The bank didn't contact me. So then the judge was like, so I guess you got enough money saved to move. I said, sure do. And I was like, okay, have a blessed one. So it was dismissed.
Amen.
So God is so good because I was faithful.
Amen.
Had I not, you know, had I listened to somebody else, like, no, don't pay the rent. You know, the house is going to be gone and blah, blah, blah. But she had to get kicked out. I was still there. The only person still there paying my rent. And God blessed me to live there 3 months rent-free.
Amen. 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 See, you have to speak to your situation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, David spoke to his situation. Shall I prove it to you? Didn't he speak to Goliath? Thou uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't have to speak to him, but he looked at him and he declared some things. You come in the name of your God, but I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Do you understand? He spoke to his situation. I've said this before, but even the lady with the issue of blood, she spoke to her situation. The Bible says she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. You got some situations, some strongholds? Have you done any speaking to it? And I mean, you have to speak to it. Try it. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, speak some words. Declare some things. Like I did with that decline letter. Like you don't want to hear all my troubles, do you? I got a letter from the state saying I owe $12,000 in back taxes. And again, I just picked it and I said, no, this is wrong. This isn't right. They said I owed taxes from 2011. So I wrote them, I said, no, this isn't right. They wrote back and said, yeah, it's not right. Sorry. This is how it works. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. That's what we got to do. Now, I've talked about some of the weapons. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the enemy. And this, I don't want to dwell too much on the enemy, but you do need to be able to discern, the Bible says, what you're dealing with. And there are certain types of spirits. The Bible names them. In this case, a dumb and deaf spirit. Now, you notice, as I've been telling you, the enemy fights with what? Words. So you'll find that all of the spirits, they're always associated with words, deaf and dumb. You understand? If you've been following all month, you begin to see something here. When Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more. What did Jesus do? What did he do? He spoke. He spoke. See, a lot of time when we're praying, it depends on the situation. If we're praying for something like that, we don't necessarily pray to God. We speak to the Spirit. If you are sick, you might not hear me pray, God, please heal them. I'm going to say, command you to be healed. Because if we have the Spirit of God, we have been given authority to speak to the situation. Now, here's another spirit. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? See, the Spirit used words. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And what did Jesus do? He said, shut up. He silenced his words, so he could not speak anymore. Hold thy peace and come out of him. Do you see what I'm talking about? Remember, I started this off four weeks ago, showing you what the weapons were, that the weapons are words, because spirits manifest here as words. Seducing spirit. Again, you notice that it's related to what? Speaking. Remember what I've been telling you? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. So we have to use the word of God against the word of Satan. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from faith, giving heed. In other words, listening to seducing spirit. What is a seducing spirit? It's something that is deception, something that is a lie, something that's going to sound 90% good, but it's the 10% error that's going to kill you. You know, there's some poisons that you only need a tiny little speck of it, just a tiny speck of it to be fatal. Not much. You've all heard the story I told about the father with cooking the brownies, right? For those of you who haven't heard, I'll just tell it very quickly. He had some teenage children who were determined to go to a movie that was R-rated, and he said, I don't want you to go into that movie. But they said, but please, Dad, it's only got a little bit of filth and foul, just a little bit, just a tiny little bit. It's only like got on the screen for 2 seconds. He said, I really don't want you going to that movie. But anyway, you know how teenagers are, they still went. So when they came home, Dad had cooked a whole tray of brownies. They said, oh man, you're the greatest. Well, we're so hungry. And can we have it? He says, you can, but I just want to let you know. Just got a little bit, just a little bit of poop. Just a little bit. Do you still want it? You see, it's not how much truth you have that will kill you. It's how much leaven. So there are seducing spirits. That there are spirits that sound so good. Again, it's all related to the word. That's why you have to be careful what things you listen to. Not everything that declares itself the word of God is the word of God. You have to measure it. You have to take it and listen to it. There is a spirit of infirmity. Luke 13:11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That means it was trying to cripple her. Now, not everything, now let me be careful, not everything is a spirit. Some things are things that we have brought upon ourselves by choices. Amen. You know, if I eat nothing but 20 burgers a day, the spirit that's doing that is me. It's my spirit doing that. You're not going to rebuke that one out of me. You're going to have to change my thinking. Not everything is a spirit, but certainly some things. That's why we have to be able to discern between spirits. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, when you're dealing with a spirit, you command that spirit. Now, when you're dealing with the flesh, then you pray to God. Do you understand the difference? That's what I'm trying to say. If it's something that is of me, then I have to pray to God. If it is a spirit, then I have authority through the word to speak to that spirit. I'm just showing you some of the enemy that we're dealing with. There is a spirit of oppression. You know, you're just feeling so down and depressed and you can't put your finger on it. A heaviness. How do you deal with that? Praise, that's right. I will praise the Lord at all times. And that's when you come to church and you're not feeling like getting up. You're not feeling like clapping your hands. That's when you start to clap your hands and you worship. You know what you're doing? Praise is like off for the demons. Like when you spray off and the mosquitoes scatter, you need to start scattering some praise. Lord, I thank you. Find something to be grateful for. Lord, I thank you that you even had a fire inspection and I was able to witness. I thank you that my boss chewed me out because you know what? I'm praying for him some more. All the things that the devil wants to speak to you, speak back praise. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Some people are not possessed, but he just keeps oppressing you, bringing in heaviness, doubt, and fear. And you need to dispel that by, again, uttering a word of praise. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you that I have this job. It may not be a good job. It may be minimum wage, but thank you anyway. Thank you, Lord, for this person who is on my last nerve. Lord, I pray that you use me to win them. Give me a love. Start to speak out to that situation. This is what we have to do. And how we do it, we fight with the word of God. If we try and do it of our own understanding, we will fail. The last one I'm going to speak about, and this is very general, is the spirit of Antichrist. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And how will you try? Because you will hear. You will hear what they're saying. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, if you apply this test to a bunch of religions, you'll see. Like, we understand Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is coming back literally. Islam does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What does this scripture say? And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. In fact, that is probably the greatest amount of spirits going around. Because if they can deny and get you to not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, then our salvation would be in vain. So if he can get you to not believe that Jesus came and died for you and loves you and wants to save you, then that's the greatest deception that will be going on. I'm trying to hurry up, but I want to get to this one last thing. It doesn't matter about these enemies because we have so many weapons. Some of you quoted some of the scriptures, and they're for different situations. I'm going to end with the scripture I started on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got some financial situations? Lay your hand on it. Speak to your bills. Declare some things. You got some family, some children. Speak to the atmosphere. Speak to the demons, spirit of seducing spirits that may be deceiving them. Speak to your situation. Because the Bible says casting down imaginations. That means thoughts. Sometimes we think that's impossible. How can you capture thoughts? Yes, God can change direction of people. He can do it. He has done it. He can do it. Casting down even the very thoughts and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you could stand with me, amen. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Put it into practice. Who's going to speak to the atmosphere tomorrow morning? Who's going to say some words into the atmosphere tomorrow morning? Try it. Speak a word into your situation and see what God will do. Declare some things. Take authority of some things. Let the Spirit speak through you. Even better, speak in that heavenly language. The Bible says because it has groanings and utterings that we can't understand. There's no hacking that channel because it's a direct line to God. I'm telling you, God has got powerful weapons if we would only understand. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, we don't want in this church anyone to go away without knowing that we have some powerful weapons. God has only given me the one word, come, and that's been sustaining me all my life because I've been able to walk on water. And I'm not saying that boastfully. By his grace, by his love, by his mercy, he has taken me through some situations where I don't know, looking back, how did I get through that? But he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's a big order. More than you can think. But according to the power that worketh what? Within us. It's got to start with you and your faith and your declaration of the word of God, because the weapons are mighty. Amen. Hallelujah. The weapons of God are mighty. I hope today and through this month, as we've taken this theme about the weapons of our warfare, that you will put it, don't let the devil beat you up. Don't let the devil get the better of you, because we have some weapons. Hallelujah. Now we're in a battle. Yes, you will have to fight. It's not just sitting down and letting God do everything, but he has given us, the Bible says, exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? That sounds so good. When I was young and my dad promised me something, I just believed it. When he said he went to work to make money, I thought he was actually making money. That's what God wants us to have, the childlike faith. When he says, I'm going to do it for you, I'm going to believe he's going to do it. When they send you a foreclosure notice, I'm going to say, no, this isn't right, because my father said no. My father said no. My father said Red Sea part. And something that never happened in human history happened. The whole Red Sea parted, and 2 million people walked across on dry land. Pharaoh trying to do the same thing, that didn't work for him. The promise was not unto him. But this was that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet, that upon the sons and daughters to pour out of my spirit. Hallelujah. That's what God has promised us. We have exceeding great and precious promises. Let us bow our hearts. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, for your anointing, for your grace, most of all for your love. Lord God, I pray, oh God, that this word will find good soil.